Okay, we mentioned his chumra. Right, I told you how this chumra worked out, right? We talked about it. Okay, so we did. Okay, so basically, just to summarize until this point, we're talking about warming up food on Shabbos, how to do so properly. And we said that basically there are two methods. One is called shehiyah, and the other is called hachzara. One is leaving the food on from before Shabbos into Shabbos, and the second fashion is putting the food on Shabbos. So we discussed shehiyah pretty extensively, and now in hachzara, so we've gone through the basic yisod that ein bishul acha bishul b'davar yavesh, aval yesh bishul acha bishul b'davar lach. That's what we're machmir, and therefore, since we say by a solid, there is no violation of cooking min hatara. There are only two rabbinic violations to be concerned with, and that is shemiyachta begecholim, you might come to soak the coals, or mechzikim b'vachta, but it shouldn't look like cooking. And if you can resolve those two concerns, then you can warm up the food. So we went through all the different methods of returning food on Shabbos, and the last one that we mentioned, which I'm a big fan of personally, is using the electric hot plate. It's basically a warming tray that has no dials, that has no like high, medium, low. It's just like an on-off. You plug it in, that's it. It's either on or it's off. And the reason why this is an excellent possibility, an excellent suggestion, is because obviously, number one, there's no violation of cooking, but with a salad that's fully cooked. And there's no shemiyach, you're not going to stoke any coals because there are no dials. There's nothing that you can alter on this device. And finally, there's no mechzikim avasher. It doesn't look like cooking because people use this to warm things. That's what caterers use. It's not a device that's engineered to cook. You maybe could cook with it, but that's not... When people look at it, they don't look at it as a cooking device. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, as I mentioned, and Rav Lichtenstein, are big advocates of this, and I personally subscribe to this as well. But again, I mentioned some reservations and some other points of view on this. We mentioned Rav Avadya Yosef saying that you can even be makel with a blech. He basically ascribed the same cool that I mentioned by a hot plate. He felt the same way about a blech. So certainly for Sephardim, the blech achieves that option. One of the things I want to mention for Ashkenazim who want to use a blech and do hachzara, there is an option that we have not yet discussed. Again, as I said, for Sephardim, Sephardim can basically take a fully cooked roast, fully cooked kugel, fully cooked chicken out of the refrigerator and put it right onto the blech, as Rav Avadya Yosef says. But what about Ashkenazim? Can Ashkenazim use a blech in some fashion beyond that which Rav Moshe Feinstein mentioned? If you remember, Rav Moshe Feinstein said that you can put food from the refrigerator onto the periphery of the blech, where the food will never ever get to Yad Saletis Bo, will never get to 110 degrees Fahrenheit, which is nice. Okay, you have food 108 degrees, 109 degrees. It's not so hot, but all right. But can you get food hotter? So we mentioned the Rav's kula, but unless you're a Talmud of the Rav, I wouldn't recommend, or even direct Misora, I wouldn't recommend using that kula. So is there some other method? So the method which you probably have all heard about and know about is what's called the Tanai Hachzara, the five conditions of Hachzara. Is this something that people have heard of, right, on the whole? Basically, the way it works is if you've had a food on the blech from before Shabbos going into Shabbos, so what you can do is you can take the food off on Shabbos and return it on Shabbos if five conditions are met. But I would just want to note before we begin that within these five conditions, they subdivide. The first three conditions are absolute and non-negotiable. But the last two conditions, there are some qualifications there. One can, under certain circumstances, do without one of the two, or even possibly both of those last conditions, as we'll describe. So what are these five conditions? It's based on the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch and the Nosei Kelim. They are as follows. Number one, and this is again, not the first three are non-negotiable. Number one, the food that you're returning has to be fully cooked. Okay, clearly. You are going to be returning it to a covered fire, the blech. Okay, so far, no big chidushim. Number three, the food has to still be warm. Okay, odenu cham. Okay, what's cham? Cham means, in this case, that it's warm enough. Not merely above room temperature. That doesn't suffice here. What warm means is that it's hot enough or warm enough that it contributes some enjoyment of the food. I can't quantify that. But the point is, it's warm enough that because of the warm.
When you put it back on the blech, it needs to be warm enough.
In order to put it back on, at the time that you put it back on, it still has to be warm. What does warm mean? Warm means that the warmth it will contribute to the enjoyment of the food. Yeah, I can't. That's what I'm saying. I can't. I don't know what to tell you. But it doesn't just merely mean like a degree above room temperature. There's some significance to the warmth. So these three are non-negotiable. So that would mean, let's just, for example, if you had a roast that was on the blech and you took it off on Shabbos and you wanted to put it back, then if it wasn't fully cooked, you can't put it back. Finished. If there is no blech, if you have no cover to the fire, you can't put it back. If the roast is cooled down so that it's not really warm anymore, so then you can't put it back. Okay, that's all pretty clear. These conditions, by the way, apply to liquids as well. So, for example, a very normal situation would be chicken soup. Right? Friday night, you want to serve your family and your guests. You take the chicken soup off, you put it on the countertop, and you begin doling out the chicken soup to ladling out to people. And then you're figuring after you give soup to everybody, you're figuring maybe people would still want later, so you want to put it back on the blech to keep it warm. So again, if you have a covered fire, then you can do it. If you can't, you can't. If the chicken soup for some reason wasn't fully cooked, okay, maybe I don't know, maybe you have onions in there or potatoes in the chicken soup or some vegetables or maybe some chicken. It wasn't fully cooked. Okay, maybe the potatoes still feel a little hot on the hard side. The onions are still a little too crunchy to be considered fully cooked. If that's true, then you won't be able to put the chicken soup back. Or if for some reason the chicken soup was out long enough that it cooled down so that it's not really warm anymore, then you also can't put it back. So those first three that I mentioned, these are non-negotiable, but they help and apply. Bein bedavar yavish, bein bedavar lach. Yeah.
Are you allowed to put it back on the blech to make it hotter?
Yeah.
As in for the enjoyment of the food. Even though it has to be warm enough to enjoy it already, you put it on the blech so you enjoy it more?
Yes. It's provided that it was fully cooked, and you're putting it to a covered flame, and it's still a little warm. You can put it on even though it's going to really, intensify the heat. It'll be super hot later on. It's fine. Okay. However, yeah.
Can you put it near a heat source that sort of warms it up tangentially, so to speak, and then put it on the blech?
So the Chazonish mentions that. He says this is what he calls a what's his phrase? He says halacha v'lolamaisa. He's not a fan. Yeah. He's not. So really, we shouldn't do it. Yeah.
Didn't we say that the first heaven was kneged hagurim? You could put it opposite something.
Right. But that's right. You can do that for something that's a davar yavesh. If it's a fully cooked solid, then you can put a kneged hamadur. That's true. But I can't then put it onto the blech. You understand this? I won't be able to put it at that point onto the blech. Okay, so those are the first three. The last two, okay, the fourth and the fifth conditions are as follows. Number one, od biyado. Okay, so we'll call it number four. Okay, number four is od biyado. It still should be in your hand. So in other words, here's the tricky part. You're taking the soup off the blech, you put it on your counter, and you're still holding it the whole time. You're ladling out to everybody, and you're still holding it the whole time. And then when you want to put it back, then you can put it back. But you were holding it the whole time. The fifth condition is what's called da'ato l'hachzer. that you had in mind the whole time that you were going to return it. Because when you took it off, you have in mind to return it. The whole time that it's off, you have in mind to return it, and then you can return it. Okay. So basically, these five conditions. What do they do conceptually? Conceptually, they anchor the food to the heat source. Okay. And therefore, when you return it, when you're taking it off, in some sense, conceptually, it hasn't really left the flame. There hasn't been a hefsek, and you can return it. Now, as I said, number four and number five conditions are a bit negotiable, and they are as follows. This is the breakdown. If the food in question is important to the meal, and meaning that if you don't have it at your meal will be undermined, but you'll still have an enjoyable meal. But you're gonna sort of feel, you know, something was missing. So in such a case, you can dispense with one of the last two, either one. Okay. But if the particular food in question was so central that without it your meal is ruined, then you can dispense with both number four and number five. Okay. That's the call you'll find in Tshuvos, you'll find in Shmir Shabbos, you'll find in Mishnah Berurah. This is the Shimon Eider. These are the klum. No one disagrees with this. This is the klum. Yeah.
I think I'm missing something in the case. Does this apply also to solids?
This is for solids and for liquids.
Why not, like what we said before, solids you can just heat up.
On the periphery of the blech, but right, that's it. I'm talking about you can put this on the blech itself and fire it up. I mean, really get it. I mean, you can't change the heat, but I'm saying if you take the soup, you know, which had cooled down somewhat, it's still a little warm. You put it back on the center of the blech, and it'll get really hot again. It'll maybe even start boiling. Before you put it on, it had to have been somewhere on the blech.
So theoretically, if you could insulate food from Friday night into Shabbat day, you could reheat it. If the food is still somewhat warm.
What? Say again.
If you have served something Friday night and take it off your heat source and insulate it very well,
you can't insulate it on Shabbos.
It's an insulated pod or something.
Oh, you mean you put it into a thermos?
Correct, something of the sort.
Okay, you put it into a thermos.
And then the shot of the day, come 11 o'clock in the morning, the food is still warm.
Right, but you didn't have the odubi odin da'at al-hachzer.
I mean,
it was integral to your meal.
If you have da'at al-hachzer.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. So in other words, if in theory you had something that was integral, it was your meal.
Right.
Let's say all you had was soup. And you put it into a thermos. That's cool. Yeah, that, I guess that would work. If for some reason you had no choice, that would be the way to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very dark
this
yeah.
Can we allow you to do that with chila?
Yeah. That, these five conditions are totally.
If it's an important aspect of your meal, do we say that you should go ahead? And
it's fine. Yeah, we're mako. We're fine. We're okay with that. I'll tell you what happened to my wife and I. We this must have been like 1991, 92, something like that. We were in the Kollel apartments, and in Eretz Yisrael, so a number of apartments, the way the gas lines work, I don't know if you ever noticed this, but some homes have central gas, and others have what they call balonim. You know what I'm talking about with these balonim? Yeah?
No.
These gas balloons. It's like a canister. It's basically a gas canister. If you ever see early in the morning the Arabs like driving around these big gas trucks, and you only like hope to God that that nothing goes wrong, you know, that thing goes like unbelievable explosion. So, but
in America, people use those for barbecue grills.
Right. Like if you go into the barbecue, right. But here, these are gigantic. You know, they're like the small ones are this like this tall, and the big ones are they're really the big things. Yeah. So anyway, so they go around early in the morning, knocking on your door, screaming and yelling. You know, the balonim are here, the gas balonim, and do you want? So if you run out, you know, quick enough, you know, you can refill. But the problem with these things are is that sometimes they run out. And sometimes they run out at the worst times. So one Friday night, we at that time we had a blech, and we had cholent on there and some other things, soup, and it was around midnight, Friday night, and all of a sudden I'm like, walking around, I smell gas. And I check in the kitchen, and sure enough, the fire was out. What had happened was that the gas pressure had fallen dramatically because it had run very low, so it didn't sustain a flame. On the other hand, it was enough to, I mean, I hope not, but it was probably, it could have been enough to kill everyone in the room, you know, because it's all flowing in. So so I quickly, of course, shut the gas. You could do it normally. I did it with the shinoi because I could. But if you needed to, obviously you could do it normally. I opened up the windows, and after we were, you know, opened up the front door and aired out the house, fine. But now we had to deal with the more, you know, the second important problem, and that was our cholent. The cholent was now, you know, flameless, heatless. You know, there was no, it was on a blech, but with no flame underneath it. So the cholent was fully cooked, and it was still hot. So what would I need? I need to find someone with a blech, right? But let's think. If I would put it on someone else's blech, so I'm returning it to a covered heat, right, a covered flame. The cholent's fully cooked, it's still hot, but what am I missing? Right, I'm missing the last two conditions. Oh, the other night, the lachzir weren't there. So, and we had other food, thank God. So it wasn't, you know, maybe you could have argued that it would have impacted on the meal, so I could have dispensed with one of the last two. But in this case, I was missing both, so that wouldn't help. So in the end, thankfully, a very good friend of mine, I was walking around, like, we're going to different kolo homes, just, I didn't want to wake anyone up, but I was just, like, listening to see if anyone up. And my a good friend of mine was still up, and they had a hot plate. Baruch Hashem. The hot plate is great. The hot plate doesn't have these problems. If I take a fully cooked solid or liquid that's still hot, right? You can put it on the hot plate. Why? Because what problem could exist? Is there any bishul problem here, daraisa? There aren't any, right? It's fully cooked, and even the liquid one, even the cholent, since it's still hot, right? For spardim, it's chozer to a raw state if it goes down below yatzah lettuce. And this was still above Yatzalet as well. And for Ashkenazim, it only goes to the raw state if it's Nitzdani Legamre, if it totally cools off, which clearly wasn't. So I could put it onto a hot plate. There's no concern for Mechzim Havashel, there's no concern for Shamiyachta, and that's what we did. We saved the cholent in that fashion.
Does it matter that it's a different plate though? Like if that's not...
Yes, right, it's not a problem. It's a conceptual condition that that it's connected to the heat source, to a heat source.
It doesn't matter which one.
Right, correct.
Why?
Why doesn't it matter?
I don't know, like, just like conceptually, like I would think of it like, you know.
Right, you have
the
to.
The whole concept is like it's like your cholent is attached to a specific heat source.
Right. Yeah.
And everything is involved with that, like to then transfer to a different one, you know.
Right. So the answer is that it's enough to be connected to a heat source. It's a heat sourced cholent. It would have been because I'm missing conditions 4 and 5.
But you would have been holding it the whole time. I mean, the dental is from the time
that it's off the fire.
So if you pick it up, you have dental.
No, but the fire went out. Right.
So. Does it matter if the fire is out there or if the black was still hot? Is it in fire or is it in the black?
That's good, Shiloh. Why you say it's a din in the fire? I think it's a din in the fire. It's a good shayla, but I think it's a din in the fire. I think it's a din in the fire, and a continuous heat source. That's a good shayla. It's a fair question. Yeah.
And you said if you use a hot plate, you don't have to worry about any of those numbers, or just the last two.
For a hot plate, the only thing you have to worry about is bishul. In other words, is the item in question ro'oi for bishul? So if it's a fully cooked solid, even if it's cold, you can put it on. or if it's a liquid, if it's a fully cooked liquid, as long as it's still above room temperature for Ashkenazim or above Yatza lettuce for Sephardim, you can put it on. That's how it works. Now, based on this, okay, based on these five conditions of Hachzorah, so this is like a bit like geometry. You know, you learn one principle and you can apply it now and create a whole other system. So with these five conditions of Hachzorah, we can talk about now, and some of the other points that we mentioned, we can talk about how to save a chalent. You know that that there are different things that horrify you know, people. You know, people get horrified by different things. So for the Jewish people, you know, you could probably think of different humorous situations that people get horrified by. Like, for example, say tonight someone showing up at your door with a whole big roll of challah, you know, or which happened to, I told you this. I never told you the story? I told you, there's someone here in our lunch store, he used to live in Washington Heights, and they invited over a couple who was unaffiliated, they were Jews, but unaffiliated, and they didn't know that much, and the couple was very thankful, and so they brought a cake to the Leil HaSeder of this couple that they bought from a non-kosher bakery. But so they gave it to this fellow who I know is a friend of mine. They gave it to him and he like panicked. He didn't know what to do. He like lost his mind. He told me he completely lost his mind. And he opened the door, they said hi, you know. So his wife took them to the living room and he tore down the hall. And he went, and at the end of that hall, there was a window that led into an alley. So he opened up the window, just threw it out the window. He didn't know what to do. I told him, I just hoped that their car wasn't parked down there, like on the windshield. You know, but so that's like one, you know, thing that scares people. But the other thing that scares people is that you walk, you know, wake up Shabbos morning and, does it ever happen to you that you smell something in your house and it smells like cholent and then wait a second, it's burning. My gosh, the cholent is burning. You run into the kitchen and like this like smoke coming out of the thing and you know, or you know, you look, you open it up and it's like, you know, turning into bricks that, you know. Right. Well, no, you can't. It's fully cooked.
All right.
It's fully cooked. So you're right. Then it's machlokas achronim, whether you can put the depending on the case, how you put the lid. Okay, whatever. So what do you do? How do you save that chalent? So obviously, what do you want to do? You want to introduce liquid, right? You want to introduce liquid. How do you do this? So if it's a hot plate, it's relatively simple. If your chalent is on a hot plate, you just go over to your hot water urn, and you fill up a cup, okay, with the hot water. And you go over to your chalent. Now, I would not recommend pouring it the truth is, on a hot plate, you probably need to do it. The best thing to do, we didn't get into another topic yet. It's called stirring. They're called megis, which is a shiloh, which we'll talk about more. The better thing to do, just to be yotzei l'chol hadeos, would be to take the chalent off the hot plate, put it on your counter, pour in the hot water. Okay, you know, you filled up a cup, pour the hot water into the cholent pot, stir it on your counter, and then return it to the hot plate. Right? Think about it. What's the problem? Could there be any problem with this? The water's hot, the cholent's hot, stirred it on a countertop, not on a fire, right? And then you put it back onto your hot plate. Your cholent's hot. Yeah. If you put the water into klisheni, right? And then put it in, yeah, it's fine. Right? If you know the klisheni, klishlishi, klirvi, as long as the water is hot, it's okay. That's the chiddush of this din. Now you can ask me, why don't I just take the chalent itself and go over to the hot water urn and fill up the chalent directly from the hot water urn?
Because you make the inflashics.
Right, because there's a very strong chance you're going to end up making their inflashics. Because you turn it on, the steam, and maybe they'll be splattering up, and you're going to make the urn fleishiks, or the faucet on the urn fleishiks. And then the next time you're going to have coffee with milk, okay, you have a fleishik urn that's, you know, spouting out water. So you don't want to do it that way. You want to fill up a cup, and then pour it into the yichon. So that's with the hot plate. It's very, very simple.
You said you put it on the counter. Is that considered your dining still?
It's not, but for a hot plate, you don't need it. Right, but it is biyadayim. You know, as if you were holding on to the chalon pot the whole time, that would be biyadayim. Okay, it would be. Thanks for reminding me, by the way. I'm sorry. We were talking about the hakzara din. The one place that holding on to your food doesn't help is on the floor. If for some reason, I don't know why you would do this, but if you would put the food on the floor, so for returning to a blech, even holding on to it is not enough. Once it's on the floor, it's considered off. That's a hefsek. Considered removed from the flame, and for the five conditions of Hafzara, that's it, it's over. At least you miss, you know, Odu B'Yado. But anyway, just getting back to saving the Chalon. Yeah, it's like you would see, like, a fun page, you know, save the Chalon. Yeah. That you can make them into a blech. If, you know, if you took the insert out, put silver foil on the inside, you know, on the heating element, on the floor and on the walls of the heating element, and then you return it, then you have a blech.
So it's not considered a hot plate because it has a blech?
Right. It's a cooking implement. Right. It's not just a warming tray, but it's utilized to cook with. So let's talk about a crock pot for a second, okay? Which you may have made into a blech, okay? So either a crock pot, a blech, or a regular blech that's on a stovetop. Huh? Yeah, if the crock pot is not converted into a blech, there's no way to save that. There's no way to return. You know, you can't take out the insert and then put it back. Because remember the first three conditions, they were non-negotiable. You have to return it to a covered heat source. You following? Right? So that's why it has to, you simply cannot take the insert out and then return it without it being covered.
Inside.
Right. Put like two layers to make it some, you know, substantive, unless it's very thick foil. But that's what you should do. Yeah, Rav Lichtenstein actually told me this this thing with the crock pot. Yeah.
Would you be allowed to make it into a blech after having it
done?
Yeah.
Okay.
Once you pull out the
chalons,
you make it into a blech.
Yeah, and you make it into a blech.
If you can make it into a blech on Shabbos.
Oh, your question is, can you do it on Shabbos? I think it's okay. Yeah. Yeah, it has to be pre-cut silver foil. That's it. Okay, so now you have this crockpot blech or a regular blech. How do you save the chalent in that case? So this is much more sophisticated. You're probably going to need an extra pair of hands to help you out to do this. So you need. It's like, how many people does it take to save a chalon? It's going to be at least two to do it right. The way to do this is you take, let's say you have a chalon on a blech, right? You see to your horror that it's drying up. So you take this and you take it off with all the conditions, right? It's a fully cooked chalon. It's still hot. It's all to be yoddo. You have daita lahachzir. And you put it now on the counter. But you're holding on the whole time. You're not letting go. Then you're going to fill up the water with the spout. Okay, I don't know. It's going to be very hard to do that if you're holding on to the chalon pot. I don't know, unless you're really good. Yeah?
What's defined as holding on? Like, just holding it, or do you have, like, possession?
Like, what do you mean?
Like
holding. Like, you have some.
Are you, like, holding underneath, or can I just, like, turn it like that?
Hold the biyada. I mean, let's say you have your. It means you lean your arm on it.
Like, what exactly is?
I think we say beyond it. I'm pretty sure beyond means beyond it. That you have, like, that you have control of it.
Got it.
And that's what it means, control. So, anyway, so this is where I'm saying I think you're going to need an extra pair of hands. You're going to probably need someone else to open up the spigot. Okay, so you now are thinking as the water is flowing. So now your hands with the cup of water. This looks very funny, I guess. And you're thinking daita lahachzir on the water that's coming out of the spigot into the cup. Then you pour that into the chalon pot, or into the crock pot. That's on the counter that you're holding on to. You stir it, and then you return it to the crockpot or to the blach. Right? Is that understood? It's pretty straightforward. Does anyone not understand it? Because I can. Yeah.
Two questions. One, why can't you just have the intention to put it back? Why have one on the platform? Right? Wasn't it enough just to have one of the?
But you need. Don't. But we say you need five conditions. Oh, well, it depends. I mean, it depends how much you have at the meal. I mean, if you have, you know, there's some people, you know, it's like a nonstop flow of food from the kitchen. So if without the challenge, okay, you know, it's not like the meal, someone says, you know, this meal is missing, you know, something. They can barely, you know, they roll them out the door. But sometimes the chalent really is missing. It didn't ruin the meal, but it's missing. So it depends. But you're right. If it was a case where the chalent would be felt, like you feel something's wrong with the meal, then you're right. You can dispense with the other meal. You're right.
Also, I think I kind of missed what the difference is between this case and the case you mentioned before.
The hot with the hot plate?
Oh, okay, fine.
Well, because the hot plate, you don't need the Odu Yodo, the Dai Tel Hachzir.
No, this was supposed to be what?
Right. Okay. So, now we've explained basically how to save this challenge. Now, we'll segue just into one of the issues that we brought up, and that is the question of Magus, or Hagoso. Hagoso. Hagoso is stirring. In Hebrew, livchosh. But let's start with the following. Let's say you have food on a fire, okay, on Shabbos, and the food is not fully cooked. But it was on from before Shabbos. So I have cholent, let's say, on from before Shabbos into Shabbos, and wasn't fully cooked. What would happen if I took off the lid and I stirred it on the fire? What would you call that? Cooking. It's called cooking. It's bishul daraisa. I'm accelerating the cooking by doing that. Okay. So let's change the scenario a little bit. Let's say the food is fully cooked. Let's say that chalent is fully cooked. Any problem with stirring the chalent? So I would think, well, it's positive. It's, what could be the problem? Okay, but it's more, but am I, is that a visual improvement or just because I'm spreading the taste around? It's an interesting question. So, the Kolbo says it's usur to stir it while it's on the fire. Okay, so in other words, if I'm stirring it on the counter, it's okay, but when it's on the fire, it's usur. Why? So the Kolbo doesn't say, and Achronim try to figure out what the Kolbo's reasoning is. Some say that the Kolbo seems to imply that it's an issur d'oraisa of cooking. So some say, why would it be an issur d'oraisa? Like you said, when you stir, ein adom is stirred to an unstirred. Because when you stir it, you're that's a part of the process of cooking, and you've improved it. And others say, no, there's somehow always pockets of uncooked food inside, and when you stir it, therefore you're exposing all the uncooked food to the heat, and you're cooking the food. But the bottom line is, we don't paskin like the Kolbo. But we do paskin that it's usur midrabanan to stir the food. And the reason that's brought down in poskim is mechzi kemavashel. It simply looks like cooking. To stir a cholent or other food that's fully cooked on a flame, on a heat source, is an issur d'rabanan called mechzi kemavashel. Okay, and it only applies, by the way, when you have multiple items in the pot. Like a clear broth, you would not violate magus. But when you have a cholent or something like that, we have multiple items in there and you're stirring it, that's an issur d'rabanan of hagasa. So I remember a number of years ago, again, this was like the early 90s, someone had asked me, Shaila, what's the deal with the stirring on a hot plate? Okay, on a plato. Is there any problem? So I spoke to Rav Lichtenstein about it. I wanted to know what he thought. So he told me that he would get back to me and he would have an answer. I called him up a little bit a few days later. He said he's thinking about it. A few days later. Finally, it was Erev Shabbos. He calls me up. And he said, I've been working on it. I have the answer for you. The answer is that it's mutter. It's fine. He said, and the way he said it to me was, he says, I'm convinced. He said, I'm convinced it's fine. And it wasn't like he wasn't hemming and hawing, you know, and saying, Mishdev Shariot. It wasn't like, he said, it's definitely fine. He's convinced it's fine. And he said, why? Because the nature of the prohibition is Mexican Mavashel, and the hot plate is removed. It's mufka from the whole idea of Mexican Mavashel. It's a warming tray. People use it for warming. People don't use it for cooking. And therefore, no one's going to mistake the situation for a situation of cooking.
That
I'm spreading the heat around. No, that I'm that this item I'm trying to warm all the pieces. Right. If you saw, right. If you were at a catering, you know, you went to a kiddush, and you saw someone stirring the challant on the hot tray, would you think that the challant wasn't cooked before? Or would you think they just?
But the fact that he, I mean.
You're saying the stirring itself objectively, is an act of cooking.
Okay.
I hear that's. Rav Luchenstein apparently didn't think that it was a. No. I'm saying he obviously didn't think it was pashut because he would have said that right away. He was struggling with the issue and he thought about it and he finally came to that conclusion. Yeah. Yes, right. The upshot of that is that you would be able to serve directly from the hot plate.
I want to. I've seen like a hot cupboard before, right? A whole cupboard.
A hot cupboard. Can you just describe it?
I'm not sure exactly what it is.
It's like a
when you say cupboard, just to understand what terms.
It's like a
warming shelf.
It's a cupboard means like it's inside a.
Box.
It's inside a box.
Yeah.
That's closed on all sides.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. And there's no dials on this thing? There's no high, medium, low? It's just on or off? If that's the case, I think it's totally fine. I think it's fine. Yeah. As long as this cupboard, as you're calling it, a warming drawer, I guess that would be the equivalent. As long as you don't have it jammed full of food. As long as there's space between the food items, to avoid insulation, which we're going to talk about. But as long as there is some space around the items, it's okay. Yes, Sam.
Once it's off fire, you can stir?
Yeah.
So why not just take it off the fire? I don't
know. You can, but some. You know, let's say your challenge is very heavy, and you're like, you're a 75-year-old lady or something.
There's absolutely no issues if you're putting it off the fire.
Right. If the challant is fully cooked, right. Then there's no problem if you take it off and stir it. And it's just putting it back. You have to fulfill. If it's a black, you have to have the five conditions of hachazara. If it's a hot plate, you just put it right back on, as long as it's fully cooked. And if it's liquidy, even more. So I just want to make it clear, though, that not everyone agrees with Rav Luchenstein on this. I know that Rabbi Willig is more concerned about it. I had a discussion with him about it. He thinks, sort of along the lines that you raised, that stirring itself is a problem. So that's why I mentioned before, to be yotze l'chol hadeos, it'd be better to put it onto the onto the counter when you do the stirring. But serving food out of the hot plate, I think there's more room to make, because serving, it's objectively a different type of act. It doesn't look like you're trying to cook. It just looks like you're serving. So I would make that distinction. If you're going to be where to be machmir, we'd be machmir when you're stirring it around. But if you're just serving it out, I think that you could be more makel. Certainly, you could do it gently and not vigorously.
In terms of bringing food back on, just going back outside for a second. Does it matter if food is anyway congealed? That is, you'll be changing the.
Well, what's the case? You're taking something out of the refrigerator?
Right.
Okay, I'm going to get to that. I'm going to talk about that soon. Yeah.
What about
That's very good. Yeah. This, thank you for bringing that up. On a blech, so I said to you that you can't stir on a fire, right? But you can stir on the countertop. So is there somewhere in the middle between those two where you also can stir? So the halacha is you can't stir on the fire. And because of that, let's take Rabbi Willig for a moment, okay? Or anyone who would say you can't stir on a hot plate, okay? Because it's the whole thing is a heat source. It's, the whole thing has coils going through it, right? The irony is that you would have to take the chalon off the hot plate and put it on the counter to stir it. But for a blech, you would just have to move it off the fire. You following me? As long as the chalon is not directly above the fire, but it's off to the side. So let's say it's still on the blech, but it's not directly above the fire. So you would be able to stir because it's not on the fire. So that's the irony, that a blech would actually have a kula over the hot plate in this respect, if you hold that you can't stir on a hot plate. Because the hot plate has coils going through the whole of it. So if you can't stir on the hot plate, you can't stir on any part of the hot plate. But for a blech, it's only where the fire is. So you could stir it on the blech. Yeah, please. Yeah. Okay. Is it on? Thanks. I guess we were really trying to do Bishol like Amish in this room. Scooping the food out, you can do it while it's on a hot, when it's on a hot plate, but not on a fire, right? Because that's the, right, correct, right. There are poskim who say, like in a shas hatchak gadol, you know, let's say it's humongous pot, and you just can't move it. That if you put a spoon in, and you do it very gently and very slowly, and it's clear to everyone that you're just trying to get the food out, and you're not trying to, and you're not going to stir it anyway, then it would be mutter in an extreme case like that.
And about a soup, also, like, it'd be stupid to give a big pot of soup and it's on the left.
Right. So if it's a soup that has multiple items in it, then the same thing. You'd have to do it very. If you want to do it on a blech, the best thing to do is to move it off. So it's off the fire. Right. You know, so you can keep it on the blech, but just off the fire. But if for some reason you couldn't move it, you would have to do it very gently, ladle it out slowly and carefully. Same thing, right? Correct. If it's in a crock pot and you didn't have a blech and you wanted to ladle it out, you would have to, if it's a shas of chakodol, this is the only way to do it, you would have to
you
do it very gently. If you have the foil, then you can take it out and then ladle it out there and then put it back. Right. Good. Good. Okay. Good. Clear? Okay. So now I want to take the opportunity to discuss a very strange story that surrounds a very machmir halacha. One of the halachas that we didn't really go into too much is the isser of hatmona, of insulation. It's a very chomer isser derabonon, because it belies an attitude that Chazal were very worried about on Shabbos. When a person wants to insulate food, or keep food insulated, so they're obviously very concerned with the heat of this food. And they're concerned that the heat's going to drop down. So what is a person going to do if they're really concerned about the heat? What might they come to do? Stoke the coals. Exactly. So Chazal enacted two types of isuri hatmana. Basically two types of situations. The two situations of hatmana are as follows. Okay, hatmana again means insulation. One hatmana is called hatmana that's mosif hevel, that contributes heat. The most dramatic example of this would be if you have a chalon pot that's submerged inside hot coals. So if it's completely submerged in hot coals, what would you call that insulation? Mosif hevel, it's contributing heat. that's one category of hatmana. A second category of hatmana is called hatmana that's ma'amid hevel, which means to sustain heat. It simply sustains it. It doesn't contribute heat, but it keeps it warm. So if you have a cholent pot that you wrap, let's say, in blankets on your countertop, and you left it there, so your blankets are basically are insulating, keeping the heat in place, but not contributing it. So what's the difference between these two types? So the difference is as follows. It's recorded in Shulchan Aruch. Hatmana, that's most of Hevel, the first type, is much more chomer. And it's prohibited already at the onset of Shabbos. At the onset of Shabbos, you're not allowed to have this situation existent in your home. So, again, let's take the case where you had a, for some reason, the way you made your cholent, okay, let's say for those who went out, Vasodeh, Shabbos, Shabbat Vashetach. Okay? So if you had, let's say, submerged the cholent in hot coals, completely submerged. So basically, what's the situation? This is Hatmana of the Mosef Hevel. The halacha is that at the onset of Shabbos, you know, immediately prior to the onset of Shabbos, you'd have to remove the cholent from those coals. You cannot leave it in that state. Okay? So even though it's not Shabbos, you have to neutralize that state. Hatmana of Maimid Hevel means that you're allowed to wrap up that cholent prior to Shabbos and leave it from Shabbos, leave it from before Shabbos into Shabbos. That's okay. You can leave your cholent wrapped up. You can leave your chicken soup wrapped up. I'll give you a case where that would happen. You have a lot of guests coming over. You have a lot of courses, and you ran out of room on your hot plate and on your blech. There's not enough room. So what did you do? You removed the chicken, since the chicken soup is only for Friday night and it's the first course. So you took it off before Shabbos. You wrapped it up in blankets. And you figure by the time everyone comes back from shul, and you say kiddush, you say amotzi, and you bring out the chicken soup, it'll still be, you know, plenty warm. So that's okay. That's okay. As long as you wrapped it up on the counter and you left it there, it's okay, because it's maimed hevel. But what you can't do with maimed hevel is you can't wrap it up on Shabbos. Okay, hatmana of maimed hevel is prohibited to perform on Shabbos. Now, yeah. If it's wrapped up already and you take it out to serve it, then you can rewrap it. That's okay. Or if it fell off, you could rewrap it.
Is there any,
that's okay. I didn't hear what you said. Okay. So, yeah. Okay, good. Yeah, right. Exactly. Good. So, Hillel's raising the following question. Let's say I wrap up the chicken soup on the blech, or on the hot plate. What is that called? While the actual insulating material is not something that contributes heat, but the dynamic that's there is certainly a dynamic of contributing heat, right? The blankets wrapped up around the cholent pot or the chicken soup, but the heat that's coming from below is now recirculating inside. So the poskim say that that's actually considered hatmana of Mosef Hevel. It is Mosef Hevel. So that would, you can't have that situation on Shabbos. So this, of course, brings us to the question of how do you define hatmana? Because I'll give you an example. Do you ever see people putting like a big Shabbos blanket, a hatmana blanket, like on top of their blech or hot plate? So is that like a really cool thing to buy people, or some, or lifnei yivel lo sitem mechshol? Like what, you know, so yeah.
The point on that, I've been in two houses where things are set
up. It burned up.
Simen
min ha-shamayim, right? It's certainly most of Hevel. You know, or alternatively, sometimes people put a blanket around the urn, the hot water urn. Is that okay? So, just to understand the definition of hatmana, in order to violate hatmana, you basically have to fulfill three conditions in order for it to be called hatmana. Number one, it has to be a secondary covering. Either one. In order for you to call it hatmana, whether mosaf hevel or maimed hevel, it has to be a secondary covering. Like a pot and a lid is not hatmana. But a blanket around it, the blanket is the secondary covering. That's number one. Number two, it has to be a comprehensive covering. Okay, so if I'm just wrapping up a small portion of it, that's not considered hatmana. You have to be wrapping up a significant portion, a vast majority. Yeah. Oh, okay, we're going to get there. And the third component is that it has to be a snug insulation. The insulation has to be pretty snug. You can't have any significant gaps between the insulation and the food. If there is a significant gap, it's not considered hatmana. So let's just, before we get to the crock pot, let's just think about the blanket that's on top of the food that's on the hot plate or on the block. If your food is all like smushed together, it's like all snug up against each other, you have lots and lots of food, and you just compressed all the food together on top of the hot plate or on top of the block, and you put a blanket on top. So let's think. You've just covered the top of the blanket. Anything that's in the middle, okay, on this blech or hot plate, is it covered on its sides? What represents the covering of the sides? Right, the surrounding pots and surrounding foods. So, and plus there's something on the bottom. There's a heat source on the bottom. So basically, it's comprehensively covered. And in this case, it's most of hevel even. So that would be considered a real problem on Shabbos. But if the food, if it's not crowded on your hot plate or blech, but rather you have just a few items on there, there's plenty of space between them, and you put a blanket on top, you cannot argue that there's a comprehensive covering here, and there's nothing snug. Follow? So it really hinges on that. So whether or not, so I don't think it's lifnei iver to buy one of these blankets for someone and give it to them, but it should come with a little note attached that say, only cover, an uncrowded hot plate or uncrowded blech. And beware, and come with a fire extinguisher. But let's say you have a hot water urn. Like these sleeves that people put on top of the hot water urn? You know what I'm talking about? There's a name for this. There's like a fancy name.
Sleeve?
No, it's a much fancier name. Anyway, these sleeves that you put down on top of the hot water urn, if they're snug and tight and they're comprehensive, it goes on the top and the side, it's a problem. But if it's a big, if it's an oversized one, so then it's okay. So it really, again, it hinges on this question. So finally, and I guess we'll end with this point. Yeah. Huh? Aluminum foil also would be a secondary covering. Yep. What about a crock pot? A crock pot. In the United States, people had used crock pots for many, many years. And in Israel, they had, this was in the 90s, they had made their way to Israel, and in the 80s and 90s, and people were starting to use it, beginning to spread. And then the year that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach died, a year before he died, he came out with a tshuva. That basically said, in his opinion, the crock pots are also to use because of hatmana of Mosif Hevel. Why? Because he said, look at it. You have an insert that's inserted into a heating element. There's heat on the bottom, there's heat on the sides, and it's Mosif Hevel. So it's hatmana of Mosif Hevel, and therefore it should be Osir. And I remember when that tshuva came out, it was like light, it spread through the Jewish world. This was before the internet. At least before internet was really big, and people were like, everyone was talking about this tshuva. The reaction was mixed. I know in the United States people like say, can't they? We've been doing it for years. You know, Rav Moshe Feinstein was the Posek Hador. He knew about the crockpots. He never said anything. There's no tshuva from Rav Moshe about it. We don't know what Rav Moshe said about crockpots. But there's no word from him to Aser, and he knew about crockpots. He must have known about crockpots. So people felt that, you know, Mora Heter, it's fine. Huh? Not, there's no tshuva about crockpots. At least not with Hatmana. Yeah, and yeah. So, but substantively, what would be the argument to justify, besides, you know, lack of response by Gedolim in America? You know, what would be a substantive response? So the truth is, when you start going through the Shulchan Aruch and you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch says Hatmana of Moshe Tevel. When is it a problem? When it's covered on all sides. But the Ramah says, if it's uncovered on top, if there's no secondary covering on top, then it's not Hatmana of Moshe Tevel. A crockpot. Is there a secondary covering on top of your crockpot? Depends. I mean, if you put challah on top of that, yeah. But if you don't put anything on top of it, then there is no secondary covering on it. And therefore, it's black and white, it should be mutter. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach knew how to read Shulchan Aruch. He knew how to read the Ramah. He said, I know that Ramah. He said, if you look in the Prima Gadim mentions that he's Mesupak how to read that Ramah. He's not sure. Basically, the Ramah said, so here's, let's say, the plan, okay? And here's the so here's the heating element, right? This is all generating, emanating heat. So the Ramah said, if the top is uninsulated, then it's okay. So the Prima Gadim says, what does he mean by the top? I don't know. In my mind, top means the top. But the Prima Gadim said the top might mean the top half. Rama meant that maybe the top portion of the pot, if that was uninsulated, then it's okay. But if any part of the top portion is insulated, then it's a problem. So that's so Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach said we should be choshish for that Prima Gadim, and we should be machter. I remember Rav Schechter speaking, I think it was like in this room, saying that he thought it was totally fine. He didn't think it was a problem. Rav Luchenstein, I spoke with him, he thought it was totally fine because of this Ramah. They didn't have a similar concern. Also, what goes on between here and here? Is there space between the insert and the heat source? There is. There actually is. I put a rock once. I took the insert out, put a rock in, about like a thumb thickness, put the insert back in, went back the same way, indicating that there's a gap of at least a thumb at the bottom. So I told Rav Luchenstein, he said, then for sure it's not a problem. That's not snug, totally fine. Just, we'll stop with this this story. Rav Schechter, when he was in this room talking about it, we asked him, so do you use a crock pot? So he said, I really think it's totally fine, but around the time that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's psak came out, our crock pot broke. So I wanted to fix it, but he said, my wife said, no, Rav Shlomo Zalman Paskin, we shouldn't fix it. So I haven't fixed it. I spoke to Rav Luchenstein about it, and Rav Luchenstein, he told me also, he thought it was totally fine. So I asked him to use one. So he said he used to, but around the time of Rav Shlomo Zalman's sock, his crock pot broke, and he sort of said, like, tongue in cheek, he said, simim min ha-shamayim. So he never fixed it. It's just interesting. Now, not at all that I belong in these names, but it's just a fact. Around the time that this psak came out, so a number of Talmidim borrowed my crock pot. And like after Shabbos, I asked, you know, how was the chant? They said, fine, but they feel very embarrassed. I said, what happened? They said, somehow, they don't know what happened, but the knob melted. Like, right, it just melted. So so it broke. So they said, don't worry, we'll get you another one. I said, don't worry about it. They said, I'll get you another one. You know, they said they'll fix it. That's what they said. They'll fix it. So they held on to it. And a few weeks later, I asked, what's the news on the crock pot? They said, it disappeared. It's like gone. So my crock pot just like disappeared from the planet. It's like gone. We'll stop here. What is the deal with crock pot? Is there any etzah, how to use a crock pot and so that everyone will be happy? So we'll talk about that next week.